Welcome to Sport Management Review Insights. I'm your host, Vito Sobral. Sport is often cited as a force that can be used for social change. We've discussed sport for development research on this podcast. But is sport for social change research taking a backseat to the more commercial aspects of sport? And if so, what can we do about it? Well, that's what we're going to discuss in this episode. And joining us to consider this is a researcher who's published a great deal on sport for social change. He's Associate Professor of Sociocultural Studies and Sport Management at the University of Tennessee. It's Adam Love. Welcome, Adam.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Adam and co-authors Samuel Bernstein and Ryan King-White recently published Two Heads Are Better Than One, A Continuum of Social Change in Sport Management. Now, Adam, since I started doing my master's a few years ago, I've realized that academics love a continuum. And over time, I think I have as well. But how does this paper help us understand research in sport and social change?
You know, there's been a lot of people who've done efforts to kind of take stock of the field as far as where we are. You know, we could say, I think it's tough to pinpoint the age of sport management as a field, but we could say it was just about 50 years ago when academic programs with like degrees named sport management started popping up. Although it was a couple decades after that when we saw like journals and academic societies devoted to studying sport management. I think it was 1987 with the North American Society for Sport Management, Journal of Sport Management, and a number of others have followed in recent decades. But so we're in a field, depending on how you define that, that's just a few decades old and has also grown really rapidly. The measures I see, there's 500 plus institutions around the globe that have sport management programs, either at the undergraduate level or the graduate level. So, I mean, it's really a field that's grown really rapidly and massively for just being like a few decades old. Now, in that, not only ourselves, but some have been kind of asked us to critique or think about, what we're doing in the field, what we're focusing on. And so one of our things that's most apparent is that the bulk of the focus has been on kind of elite commercialized sport, and not sport in general, but particular, often men's commercialized elite sport and that kind of sector, and really ignoring the much wider swath of sport as it exists in our societies. And, for example, we point out the idea of, quote, two heads being better than one, comes from Earl Ziegler, who's one of the kind of founding figures in the field, who identified, kind of one kind of head or one arm of our field being that elite commercialized sport, the other arm or other head being sport for all types of people, right? Sport at the recreational and community level, sport that includes all types of populations. And that this has largely been, well, comparatively received relatively little attention. So that's part of what we're doing, is encouraging us to think broadly about sport management. And the model we propose is a way of thinking about, incorporating social change or a focus on social change in the work we do. So that's, just kind of a snapshot, some of the background that comes into what we're calling here and trying to develop a model that might help us as scholars in sport management think about the work we do and how to think about incorporating social change within that work, right? So we identify a range of kind of strategies that this might operate on, from the pragmatic to the practical, while also imagining the possible.
Why did you think it was important to do this at this point in sport management? Now, I know you said it's starting to grow. Why do you think it was so focused on the commercial aspect, and why does it need to focus on sport for social change as well?
Yeah, so I mean, we're certainly not alone in providing kind of a theoretical or philosophical look, trying to take stock of the field. Where are we? What we're doing? In writing this, we've drawn from pieces starting in the 1980s, where the relatively early days of the field, where scholars were trying to take stock of saying, this has been a field that's growing. What should it look like? What do we want to do? But yeah, so there's been a number of these over the course of the field. So we kind of following on this, kind of our unique contribution was trying to develop a model with social change in mind. So in this particular argument, we're not necessarily saying that the focus on commercialized sport has been bad per se. It comes with both benefits and drawbacks. What we're pointing out is, regardless of those benefits and drawbacks, it has led us to where we are today, which is a field that has a pretty strong academic position at many universities, right? It's at a time when many fields have, you know, stagnated or been shrinking. Sport management has really grown rapidly, again, especially over the last three decades, from the 90s and the first couple decades of the 2000s. So this focus on commercialized position, where a lot of degree programs have grown. I guess I should take one step back also and say, in this growth, sport management has also often been struggling for legitimacy, meaning, you know, if you talk to a lot of sport management students, they'll, when they tell others, like if you go home and talk to your family or others and say, I'm majoring in sport management, some people have a skeptical reaction, I guess, to put it one way, like, sport management, is that really a thing? Is that really a worthwhile, you know, degree? So a struggle for legitimacy has always kind of been with what we're doing in a sport-related field in general and sport management in particular. But then again, we've developed a pretty strong position now, sport management has, in many ways. And so it presents an opportunity for us to think about broadening what we do to incorporate social change, right? So for scholars who want to pursue work oriented to social change, the strong position to which the field has developed gives us an opportunity to do that. We're also calling for, you know, people who maybe haven't conceptualized their work as involving social change to not necessarily change what they're doing, but our model encourages us to also think kind of pragmatically to how some attention or consideration to social change might be incorporated into work that scholars are already doing as well.
And so on that topic of social change, you mentioned that in the paper that conceptualizing social change is a continuum of actions that spans across disciplinary, institutional, and individual levels. What are those levels that you mentioned, disciplinary, institutional, and individual?
Right, yeah, so great question. So again, disciplinary refers to the idea, things that we as sport managers as a whole can do. We're talking about the field of sport management itself here. I mean, these kind of organizations that constitute the field, that's kind of thinking through the disciplinary level, what kind of partnerships, what kind of initiatives can we initiate at the disciplinary level. Of course, we also are actors at the institutional level, meaning, you know, are the respective universities we're at, they, you know, constrain us in certain ways, but also enable us in pursuing scholarship oriented to social change. Through at the other end, the individual level, right, that we, you know, us as individual scholars, right, doing the research we do, working with students, can take strides in pursuing social change through the work we do at the individual level as well. So we give some examples ranging from, you know, in the paper, and these are just kind of a few illustrative examples we try to give, but we talk about, you know, forming alliances. As we try to work with people in the field, we talk about speaking truth with power. So it's kind of a two-way exchange with practitioners in the field is kind of what we're referring to there. So at the disciplinary level, and again, some of this exists already, but we could establish new efforts as well as strengthening existing efforts to try to form relationships with people working in the field, with practitioners in the field, right? All of us as academics often go to conferences. You know, we go and we talk as among scholars, what can we do with our organizations, right? Which often we have hundreds of members in an organization like NASM, you know, across not only throughout North America, but globally, right? What can we do to better establish kind of dialogic relationships with practitioners in the field broadly, right? Not just elite commercialized sport, but you know, sport at the recreational and community level as well, right? So these would be thinking of actions at the disciplinary level, but of course at the individual level, right? As we pursue the research we do, as we pursue work we may do in the communities and work we may do with students, of course, we can have a role in kind of building these partnerships and alliances as well. So what we're asking there is just, you know, as part of the model, encouraging scholars to think that, you know, again, we're members of organizations at the disciplinary level, the institutional level, we're all involved on our campuses doing a variety of things at the individual level, right, through the individual scholarship we do, students we work with. And so thinking across all these levels as far as how social change might be incorporated as, you know, one thing we're endeavoring to do.
And it sounds like to do that, and you mentioned this in the article, looking at trying to bridge that gap between theory and practice. And the model encourages this type of research, of course. So how does it look at bridging that gap between theory and practice?
Yeah, so this is another like really important area that also I should note has received, you know, a lot of attention within sport management over, you know, recent decades as the field's grown. You know, one point of departure we kind of return to in the paper is a paper from Jim Weiss, where it was titled, you know, if we're not serving practitioners, we're not serving sport management. And he questioned, you know, is what we're doing, the research we're doing, the scholarship we're doing, the other work we're doing, is it really serving being the ultimate word, practitioners? And he was kind of skeptical about, you know, maybe I don't know how well we're actually doing that in that paper. And many scholars have also been, you know, skeptical of, right? So you do a study, it's published in an academic journal, and there it is. Does that ever really reach, or how does that ever really make an impact on actual practice from people working in athletics in different areas? That's something that's long, just from a personal level, always, you know, thought about me back from when I was a doctoral student, you know, and I'm working on my dissertation and other research. It's like, you know, is this, how, if at all, is this going to make a difference? How at all is this going to impact, you know, not just the field academically, but impact what people are actually doing who are working in the field? Sorry, this is a long running kind of question and subject of consideration among a lot of people in sport management. You know, whereas Weiss was suggesting kind of that we should be serving practitioners, we are taking a little bit different approach in that we're advocating for more of a critical engagement with practitioners, what we call maybe a two-way kind of dialogue with practitioners. You know, sometimes when those seeking social change are involved in social movements, we'll talk about, you know, quote, speaking truth to power. What we talk about is speaking not only that, but also speaking truth with power, meaning, kind of, again, that two-way dialogue we might have with people working in the field that seeks a critical engagement, right? Where we may be critiquing current practices that go on within the field, both within elite commercialized professional sport, as well as community kind of sport and recreation, that we're critiquing some of the practices, but doing so in a way that hopes to improve the way those practices are done, while also, you know, us as scholars are trying to be kind of self-critical of what we're doing and how we might be able to do it better as we seek these kind of alliances or engagement with practitioners. So that's kind of a key area, is this theory practice divide, right? Is just what we do as academics is often, like I said, you do research, it's published in a journal, that's it. So there's the theory, and does it actually impact actual practice? So in an effort to kind of bridge that theory practice divide, to kind of state it as simply as possible, kind of, yeah, what we're advocating scholars to think about is a critical engagement part with practitioners that involves kind of a two-way dialogic relationship.
So not just telling them, you should do this, actually engaging with them and discussion, like you say, two-way.
Absolutely. So like you say, not on one end just saying, well, here's what you're doing wrong, here's what you need to do. But at the same time, not a kind of naive, uncritical, we just need to serve you. In other words, not just you tell us what we want and we're going to try to give it to you, right? You want a student, boom, let's just send students your way. But that it's that we need to seek alliances that involve kind of the two-way critical engagement.
So I'm sure lots of researchers are now thinking, I really want to do this. I really want to do some more social change research and sport for social change. What would your advice be to researchers, apart from read the article and look at the model? What else would you tell them?
A simple, I guess, practical takeaway would be for anyone, as you're a doctoral student starting out, I think a lot of people get into the field because they are, you know, passionate about wanting to make a difference in the field. And sometimes the way academia works is, you know, the process you go through, you know, your doctoral studies and the dissertation and the CV and trying to get a job kind of removes that attachment you have with the field and maybe works to remove or some ways limit that ability that you have to get involved with practitioners. So one thing we're trying to do is also, you know, through the model by advocating, you know, looking at across different levels, across different spheres of sport, from thinking ranging from the pragmatic to the practical to the possible. You know, one part of this is valuing work that engages with those in sport to seek social change. Whereas, you know, traditionally that kind of work may not be valued in the same way. Again, most of our focus has been on elite commercialized professional sports and a few select kind of men's sports. So seeking to hopefully, you know, place value on a broader variety of scholarship, you know, particularly that oriented to social change. For scholars in the field, you know, it's thinking about whatever area they work in, what might be ways in which social change might inform that, or what might be ways to kind of orient work to social change. Thinking about, you know, the practices we engage in, inequities or inequalities that these practices might reproduce, and think about how, you know, doing work oriented towards social change might be a part of what we do in light of that.
So Adam, I just want to end on by asking you this maybe strange question. You've looked at the history of sport management. I want to ask you, what do you think is going to happen in the next 10 years or 20 years, particularly if we take on board what you've proposed in the article?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And I mean, I'm hesitant to offer any predictions that are too definitive. But again, some of this, you know, very recent research has still showed, you know, continuing growth in the field. It's complex with a variety of factors, but I think a lot of things point to continued growth. And again, whereas, you know, certain fields are declining, certain majors at universities have, you know, kind of been struggling for resources and student enrollment. You know, the most recent data, at least I see, shows that our sport management programs are still in a pretty strong position, and in many cases are continuing to grow. So given that, again, that in the near term, at least, we seem to be on pretty solid footing as a field, that hopefully gives us more kind of room to pursue social change within our work. You know, that's also one area to kind of build and continually revisit what we're doing in our degree programs to hopefully make them stronger programs that better serve students, right? If we can try to impact the field by lessening the importance of doing unpaid internships, and the training and experience we give students while they're students in our sport management programs doesn't have to involve this type of unpaid work to such an extent, hopefully that'll provide a more positive experience for students. So we're on strong footing. If we can do work that's really going to improve our degree programs and improve the opportunity for students, and while hopefully addressing some of the inequities that currently, or the ways that inequities are reproduced within the fields, I would hope that will, you know, bode well for the future of sport management, you know, in the near term, to you know, hopefully continue our growth, and doing so in a way that, again, might be more equitable, more just, hopefully, as we move forward.
As someone who did plenty of unpaid internships, I wholeheartedly agree. So thank you so much, Adam. It was a really fascinating chat.
Sure, enjoyed it. Appreciate your time. And yeah, it was a pleasure to do it.
And thanks for listening to Sport Management Review Insights. At the Sport Management Review website, you'll find all the latest research being published, including the article discussed in this episode, Two Heads Are Better Than One, A Continuum of Social Change in Sport Management. That's it for this episode, but take a look. There's plenty more you can download to your favorite podcast player. Until then, it's bye for now.